Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Lake Forest Church podcast. Lake Forest is in Huntersville, North Carolina. We try to be a place that's safe for people who've given up on church but not on God. Hope you enjoy this message. If you want to find out more about us, you can check us out at www.lakeforest.org. Thanks.
See you up there, freshman. We are 2 weeks into a three-week series about what's next after the resurrection of Jesus. A few weeks ago, Jesus, whom we were following and putting our hopes and dreams for the world upon, he was killed upon a cross. And then just a few days later, he rose from the dead. It just happened a couple of weeks ago. Oh my gosh, what is next? And today's message is a missionary tribe. If you've been around Lake Forest Church for a while, you know that we have this mission that describes and wraps around everything that we do here, and it's our understanding of our unique expression of the mission of Jesus for us as a church. So will you read this with me? Our mission, loving people as they discover and live out their role in God's story. Now, whose mission is it? Ours. You have a very important part to play. We believe this is what we're here to do, why church exists. So let's read this together one more time with passion. Our mission, loving people as they discover and live out their role in God's story. But what does that look like, really? What does it mean? All of us are at different places in our lives, different points on our spiritual journey. Some of us even asking the question, is this God stuff legit? Right? How do we know if we're accomplishing God's purpose and if our mission lines up with God's purpose? Because if you look at the New Testament, all of which was written by leaders in the church in response to what was next after the resurrection. Well, over and over, they affirm that God's heart beats for the church. The collection, the word church just means gathering, the gathering of those who follow Jesus and who love him. That God has a passion for his people, for you. He has a passion of love for you. He has a heart for you. Not just this church, but the capital C, worldwide church. So how do we know if we're fulfilling God's dream, accomplishing God's purpose for the church? When we go on vacations, Angie and I, there's some things we like to do together. And then there's some things that are really different about us, like what leads to relaxation when we go to the beach. And there's this one thing that she always does when we go to the beach every summer that I just can't really comprehend doing this on vacation. She does it for sometimes literally hours a day, every day, while we're at the beach. And it's something that I'd rather get my eye poked with a sharp stick than do this anytime, let alone on vacation. And it is putting together jigsaw puzzles. And do we have any puzzle people here along with Angie? Yeah, she's here. I'm like, surf's up, dude. Why would you be inside doing this? Well, she loves to do puzzles. All you puzzle people, what's the first thing you do to put together a puzzle? Around it. No, you're absolutely wrong. You look at the picture on the box. And then when you look at the picture on the front of the box, you know what it is you're trying to do and accomplish. Okay? In Acts chapter 2, in the New Testament, God has given us the picture on the box for what's next. After Jesus' resurrection, as soon as he rose from the dead, he said, if you are mine, if you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, you've got a mission. Go and make disciples wherever you go. More followers of Jesus, teaching them all that I have taught you to obey and follow it. And he said it a different way, be my witnesses wherever you go. In other words, just be an eyewitness. This is who Jesus is to me and for me, wherever you go. So he gave this mission, and then he's given us a missionary tribe to be on mission with. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 2 at the picture on the box of God's dream for this missionary tribe. I'm calling it the church. The word church just means gathering, and tribe would be a really loose translation that sort of fits for us. And so as we look at this picture in Acts chapter 2, I want to ask you to not be disconnected from it as we look in God's word, but maybe to approach it in a way where you say, Lord, what? Even though I've read this 1,000 times for some of you, or for others, oh, that's interesting about the first church, would you just have an openness of heart? What's my role? What's my place in the picture on the front of the box? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This is written by Luke, who was a doctor at the time. He was a Christian, and he interviewed many eyewitnesses, and this is his account of the first weeks and months of what came to be known as the church. Let's read together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. You go, wait. Miraculous signs. I don't really expect for that. I mean, if that in the picture on the box, but that doesn't happen today. It reminded me of this letter I got just last week, dated Easter of this year. Dear Mike, I really enjoyed the series Live by Faith. This is something I've struggled with my whole life. The timing was perfect. The series ending on Easter, which is also the 5-year anniversary of the miracle God performed on my beautiful daughter in the prayer room, praying with some of our prayer team. Her daughter was healed from a chronic disease and remains healed to this day, 5 years ago on Easter. So, the picture on the box is true today. God still does miraculous signs. Let's keep reading. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, not just on Sunday, my goodness, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What do we see in the picture on the box? We see a group of people who are so on mission for Jesus Christ, that they didn't go to church, they were the church. All around America right now, all around the world, in this room today, there are those who go to church and there are those who are being the church. There's a radical difference, and it's important to think, which one am I? And it's my prayer that today, as we look at the picture on the box in Acts 2, that God would use it to open up your heart and mind a bit more, to discover our role in this part of God's story just a little bit more clearly. And so what's next? After being given a mission from Jesus, that was last week, well, you've been adopted into a missionary tribe, where, first of all, here's what that tribe looks like. Every person is known. Verse 44 and 46 says, all the believers, I'll reread it. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. Every day they met together in the temple courts. Now, first of all, they met together in a big setting. So if you got a problem with big church, well, that's been since the beginning. It's okay to have a personal preference for a smaller church, but they met in like a big honking room with a lot of people. But they also went small, it says. And they also broke bread in their homes. That's small. And ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And so that's what we do today. That's the picture on the box. And that's what we do. We're here, kind of a large setting. And then we meet in homes and we break bread together, even as we read the New Testament, which is the apostles' teaching. It says they studied the apostles' teaching together. And then, so we do this today. And it says they had everything in common. That seems a little unrealistic. Everything in common? Let's think about this. I'm a fan of a college basketball team that plays with royal blue uniforms. It's about an hour and a half away from here. Many more people at Lake Forest than me are fans of a college basketball team not far away from there with sky blue uniforms. Okay? And so whenever they play, this church, supposed to be all loving, I get mocking emails. I get ugly Facebook postings. And from my staff who are supposed to love and support me, I get really ugly, caustic text messages on my cell phone. Everything in common? Come on, that's not real. Not to mention politics. I know a community group with half Republicans, half Democrats, and they really struggled as a community group, frankly, in the last election. Everything in common? And then there's a tragedy in a community group. And these people who have a lot of differences, everybody stopped what they were doing. They put their life on hold and they came together around this person in tragedy and loved them in the name of Jesus. And they did so primarily over meals, just like in the picture on the box, in homes, loving in the name of Jesus and loving with the apostles' teaching, even lifting up the New Testament teachings in their circumstances. That day, they had everything in common because they had Jesus in common. And they were living on mission. They weren't just a tribe, but a tribe with a mission, living out the mission. 2,000 years ago, there were 12 guys who spent 3 years with the very Son of God, Jesus. They saw Him live a life that none of us could ever live. They saw Him die on the cross for sins that weren't His to die for. They were mine and yours. They saw Him rise again on the third day. And after that, they heard Him say, "Go. And be my witnesses," just wherever you're going in your life, near and far, allow me to be seen through you. Be an eyewitness to me. And these people gathered together with each other, with other people following Jesus. And they had everything in common because nothing else mattered. Friends, this is the beauty of the bride of Christ, which is what the church is called. God's beloved, the apple of His eye. This is her beauty. Oh, that we would be a church where Christ and Christ alone would occupy our conversations and our thoughts. Where we would point one another, first and foremost, to Christ and to Christ alone. And therefore, we have everything in common in spite of all the differences that there are in this world. That we would be one even as we are many. And we have everything in common, not just because Jesus has given us a mission, but because we have Christ. If you are a Christian, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, a transformation happened. And you are a changed, new, renewed person. You are not your old self. You are who you are in Christ. He gave you a new nature. That spiritually is His righteousness before your Heavenly Father. He gave you the very mind of Christ. He gave you, Ephesians says, every spiritual blessing that's available in the heavenlies through the Holy Spirit taking up residence in your spirit. We have everything in common in this missionary tribe of transformed Jesus followers. May we point one another to Christ. There was a couple who called me when they hit a crisis in their marriage. They said, "It's hanging by a thread." And I found myself in their living room. And after I heard their story, yeah, that's every bit as bad as you think it is. And I have a lot of perspective on that. Wow. I was speechless. I don't even know what to do. You know, shout up a prayer. "Lord, you know, would Your Spirit in me somehow interact with Your Spirit in them? And something of help happened here." And I thought, "How long have you guys been coming to Lake Forest?" And they said, "You know, a couple of years." I said, "Great, then I know just what to do next. Because God works through people. Let's get on the phone right now. Let's call all of your friends at Lake Forest. Some of the people you've been in community group with, or men's or women's group. Or you're that ministry team probably that you've served alongside of people. You know, you were on the same team during the same service or doing the same thing. Let's call a few of them and get them right here in the room and begin to ask God to initiate the healing process now that you've revealed this wound in your marriage." And they said, "We don't know anybody at Lake Forest." I thought, "You've been here 2 years and don't know anybody." First of all, my codependent, hyper self-critical self was like, "Dang, I stink as a pastor. That's bad. Man, we got to tighten that up." And that was true. But on the other hand, wow, you've been going to church for 2 years, but not being church. And now is when you need the church to be the church organically, relationally. And so within a couple of days, we had this couple connected to a great local Christian counselor. They began to get a little bit better. We had them connected in to an awesome community group, kind of started that process, and they began to do the dance of community and revealing, opening themselves up to Christian community, where just like the picture on the box, they would gather with these people regularly in homes, eat meals, talk about the apostles' teaching, which is the New Testament. And God shows up in that environment. And God healed that. God did a miraculous sign and wonder. It's a miracle to our culture when this happens. And healed that family. It's a beautiful thing. And sometime later they said, Mike, we finally knew we needed help beyond how we could help ourselves. And now we're learning to give our troubles to God, but through trusting our community group, even with our troubles. And if we had stayed closed up within ourselves, our marriage would be over. And then they said a version of this, I'm putting my own language on it today. Tell people who are going to church only to please overcome the intimidation and open yourself up to be known by others in this missionary tribe, because there are things you can't do on your own. Jesus said, what's next is not only to live life on mission for me, like you got a purpose all the time in your job, at home, and with your roommate, in school. No matter whether you like or don't like what you're doing, you've always got a purpose, a higher purpose of standing for Jesus. But you don't do this by yourself. You do it in a missionary tribe where you are known by others. So let's have a moment of honesty here on Mother's Day. Just to yourself, between you and the Lord. Would you honestly just assess yourself? And are you maybe someone going, you know, Lord, I've met people here. I've come to church for a while, but I don't know anyone. I haven't allowed anyone to know me. You know what? If you just had that moment of honesty with the Lord, would you ask Him to give you courage to go with that honesty? To just take a step today, this week? You know, whether it's somebody you've met a couple times, you go, hey, you know, we've met a couple times. Would you meet my family? Maybe we get together sometime. Or, you know, hey, we've never met before. Can we go out for coffee? That could be weird and really turn out bad. So let us help you. Okay, if you need to add courage to your honesty, when you leave today, turn right to the info center and get a belong card. Like the first woman out of the 8 o'clock service. She went right there. Talk to somebody with a name tag or just grab it and fill it out and say, just start the process. It may take perseverance. It may not be just the right group the first time, or it might take a little bit. It's almost summer. It takes perseverance to do anything well in life. Persevere. Make today the day you begin to allow yourself to be known, thus giving the gift to others in this missionary tribe of being known as well by you. Be known. And if you, many of you, I look out and I see you and, dude, you are in community. You got your own sub-tribe and you're doing it so well. Do not settle for surface or skimming in allowing yourself to be known and knowing others. Community group leaders, men's, women's group leaders, push it. Take it deeper. Take it farther. Thank you for how y'all lead your group. I appreciate that. You know, you can't do two-thirds of what Jesus calls you and I to do as we follow Him if we do it alone. Two-thirds of the commands in the New Testament that are the apostles passing along to us, Jesus will for your life and mine. Where's the abundant life found? We can't obey two-thirds of the commandments on our own. You know why? Because they include these two pesky little words, one another. Two-thirds of the commands in the New Testament. Forgive one another. Love one another. Serve one another. Build up one another. Bear with one another's burdens. And the one another is not nuclear family. And that's, do that in your nuclear family. That's awesome. But it's meant to be in the missionary tribe of Jesus. So God has this beautiful dream of a missionary tribe, a church, a gathering where everyone is known. Dream God's dreams with us here at Lake Forest. Help realize that dream for someone else and for yourself, that we would be a beautiful picture of the bride of Christ as God has shown us on the box. The second thing, not only is every person known in the picture on the box, every person in the picture, everyone is needed. You're not just known, you're needed to support and serve. I love this little snapshot, this little piece of it, of the earliest church. Verse 45, Luke writes this, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. See, when you get in this moment of being known and being one, having all in common because you have Christ in common as your allegiance, as your highest affiliation in this life. You choose Christ and His church, and you become one, and you become known, and you quit living life on your own and just for yourself, and you're living in community, and you got the mission in common, and you have Christ in you and Christ in your brothers and sisters in common. And all of a sudden, the stuff that we like to collect just for us doesn't matter as much, because the beauty of sharing in the tribe comes to far outweigh the temptation to hoard for self. One of the ways, there are many ways that we are each needed to support the tribe and its mission. One of the ways we do this through the church is through the tithe. And without apology and with great passion at Lake Forest, we believe in the tithe. For those of you maybe new to church, the Hebrew word in the Old Testament is ma'aser, and it simply means one-tenth. And we see that God teaches us to worship Him with the first and best 10% of our income, monthly adding up to annually. Now, again, if you're sort of new to the church thing, that sounds crazy to you. And you know why? Because it is crazy. It's crazy that Jesus is the Son of God and risen from the dead. It is crazy that you would choose above political, racial, economic affiliation for your highest identification to be with those who are one in Christ. That is insane in your life. It is crazy to worship God by fueling His mission with the first and best 10%. And yet it's beautiful. When I preached at our friend Byron Davis's church a few miles away, one of the ministers there said before the offering, God works miracles through 90% when we trust Him with the first 10%. Right? And here's where the Bible teaches it very simply. Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, which in the Old Testament was the temple. In the New Testament, we believe it's the church, that there may be food, spiritual food and literal food in my house. Can you imagine the personal, relational and community wide needs that would be met beautifully if every Christian didn't just go to church, but was the church in this specific way? Wow. That would be powerful. So, we're all needed to support, but we're all needed also to serve. We are each one of these. We're each piece of the puzzle, of the picture on the front of the box. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with the body of Christ. The church is called not only the bride of Christ, because us together are the apple of His eye. We're also called the body of Christ. This is how He chooses to represent Himself in this world. You know, and many times, if you're like me, many of us think, oh, you know, summer serve at Lake Forest in children's ministry or middle school girls, small group leader. You know what? There's a lot of people at that church. They've got staff too. Surely, kind of, if I went away or didn't play my part, somebody would fill that void. Well, occasionally, if you're a puzzle person, this happens to you, just like it does to Angie once or twice at the beach. She'll get to the end, and it's like this 15 million piece puzzle. That's what she always chooses. And she's worked so hard, and there's one missing piece. Do you know how crazy she goes in that moment? And all of a sudden, surf's not up. We're all combing the house looking for that piece. You know what I've never observed happen? When there's a missing piece in the puzzle, I've never seen one of those other pieces of cardboard morph over and fill in the hole. That's not how puzzles work. It's that piece needs to be there, and there's only one you. God has created you beautiful. He loves how He has created you, by the way. And He's sent Christ to redeem you and inhabit you, to be your highest and best dream of God. And He has gifted you, if you're a Christian, to the church. He sees you with a bow on top of it, walking around here as His present to everyone else. You are needed, not just to support, but to serve. If someone's not playing their part, something isn't getting done. Right? You can't play my part, and I can't play yours. You can't play my part because I love it too much. I'm not going to let you. And I can't play yours because I don't have the uniqueness you have. And I pray with everything in me that we as God's church would discover, and some of us rediscover, not the responsibility, but the joy of being used by God. When we plug into a role, however small or large, inside the four walls of the church or outside, whatever, as a part of the missionary tribe's mission. And the joy of seeing our little teeny tiny role being used by God to transform maybe one life. Last week, I'm not sure how many of you listened to Michael Flake and did what he asked you to do, but I know at least one mom did. He stood up here and he said, hey, today, if you have children over in Kidtropolis, when you pick them up, and you could do this again today too, that'd be good, would you look them in the eye and give them a hug or a handshake and say, thank you for loving my boy or girl in this way. And at least one of you did so because I heard about it. This one mom said something and then followed up in writing to one of our weekly precious servants over here in Kidtropolis with elementary school. And she said something like this. She said, I just want to thank you. We needed to come to church and we wanted to come to this church. But after, you know, the first little while, our little boy hated it. And he would say these words in the car, I hate church. And it's like, oh, no, the lightning, you know. But I need to thank you because of your, and she used the word vibe, your loving relational vibe and the vibe of the whole team. Now, when he comes, he feels, and this was her words, loved to the power of 100. Thank you, thank you. Friends, just thank you, those of you who just served the last service in Kidtropolis. Thank you. Your role means that to someone, maybe to many, in any way that you serve. So if everyone found someone to love, if we found one person to love, one need to meet, just one even small job to do in the ongoing life of the missionary tribe, then you know what God does? He expands His kingdom supernaturally when we just play a small part. Somebody has done this for me, served me in so many ways, as they have. So to the end of that, I came to know Christ, and I've grown in my faith for so many years. And many people have served you to the same end. When the church acts out of the picture on the box, and every person supports and serves because they know they're needed, then God's dream is realized and lives are changed in this world. And that's the last thing I want to point out from the picture on the box in Acts chapter 2 today. Not only is every person known and every person's needed, but every person is growing. Every person's growing. Acts 2 verse 47. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved, those who were being changed, transformed, growing by the power of God. When I was 12 years old, and then again in a different way when I was 19, my faith in Jesus changed. I learned the fullness of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I learned more about the story of the God-man who lived, died, and rose again for me, even me, 2,000 years ago, for the forgiveness of my sins, to give me abundant life now and eternal life forever. I learned it's not enough to just know about the God thing. That it's something that has to be believed and then received personally by faith. And then at that moment, you're transformed. You're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And I did that. I prayed to receive Christ. And I was transformed spiritually. Now I have the spiritual nature of Christ, as do you if you're a Christian. And as miraculous and transforming as that moment was, it's no less miraculous and important than every day since. Because God's dream for everyone who's in the picture on the box is that beyond the transformation and growth that happens in the moment of salvation, He desires us to walk the journey of growing to be more like Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit every day together. Your pastors have written you a love note, Lake Forest, about updates on our Love 10 things that you'll get today, or some of you got in the email. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote a love note to the Corinthian church, and here's part of what he said and a love note to that church. First, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed. What's the form of that verb? Being. It's an ongoing process. Don't flip out that you're not totally there yet and just like give up. Being transformed into His likeness with ever what? Increasing. Paul says elsewhere, it's an upward, onward call. And this is even better. It says, we're being transformed into Jesus' likeness because I'm so good at being a Christian. No. It comes from the Lord who is the Spirit, who inhabits you with His Spirit and gives you all that He lovingly commands, that you are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory as you more and more resemble Jesus to one another in the missionary tribe and to all those with whom you come in contact as a fulfillment of the mission you've been sent on, Christian. God has this dream. We are trying to dream this dream with Him and keep looking at the picture on the box of a church, a missionary tribe where every person is known. Let's dream this together. Where every person is needed and they support and serve. Let's dream that together. And where every person is growing. Please dream that with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You're so good. God, we thank You for the story that You're telling. We look at this world and there's so many things we don't understand about the story and where we are in the plot line right now. But because of the resurrection of Your Son, Jesus, and coming to know Him by faith in our heart, we know where the story goes. And so we thank You for Him, the firstborn, the first fruit from the dead, and the promise that we will be even as He is and with Him when He returns. We thank You for this, Lord, for all who live by faith. And Lord, today, now, we set our sights not just on the mission, but the church. And Lord, we tell You all over again that Your church is beautiful. Lord, transform our heart that we would love what You love, love who You love. You call the church every specific little gathering of Christians banded together, committed to each other. You call them Your bride, whom You're just rapturously in love with. Lord, we ask You now in our heart, give us a love for the church. Give us eyes of faith to see her beauty because of all that we have in common in Christ. Give us those eyes to see our church, other churches, Lord. And Lord, now, for some of us, would Your Spirit just poke us and prod us if we're one of the people that You're saying, add some courage to Your honesty, and I'll give that to You in the Spirit. It's time to quit going to church and begin to be the church. Lord, just poke us if we're one of the ones that needs to go out to the info center right this second and grab a belong and a share card and just do some quick business with it and then persevere to follow through. And Lord, for those people who are courageous enough, depending on Your Spirit, to do that, to jump in now, I pray that You would go ahead of them and that You would connect them with unique relationships, friendships, with perseverance, maybe through a group or two that don't work. God, and help them to see how they're participating in the ongoing expansion of Your kingdom, even as they allow themselves to be known and as they serve and support. And Lord, for anyone here today who heard me talk about when I came to see Jesus clearly and put my faith in Him, for that person who says, you know, I haven't done that. I don't know what that transformation would look like or feel like. Lord, friend, if you just want to pray with me, you can right this second. Just this. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God and a Savior of sinners. And I'm one of those kind of people. I ask You to forgive me of my sins, wash me clean, and through Your resurrection power, transform me into Your child who stands clean and confident, covered in Your grace forever now. And I want to follow Jesus, be on His mission of love as the superset to everything else I do. And I look forward to being with you in your forever kingdom. And if you prayed that, just tell somebody you came with today. Or there will be one of our prayer ministers at the front left at the close of this service. And just go forward to pray with them about anything or everything. That's where this miraculous healing happened for a little girl in our church. And so there's power. God works through people. Lord, thank you for my friends. To take our little church, Lord, and with all of our imperfections and warts and moles and places where we wish we didn't have them, and help us to, A, receive your love and know that we're beautiful to you as individuals in a church. And Lord, please help us to dream your dream after you of this missionary tribe more accurately this year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, go in peace. May you live on mission this week. Amen.